Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's WGN Hometown Voices with John Williams, live from downtown Geneva, Illinois, at the 2019 Swedish Days Festival on 720 WGN.
All right, one more time. This is your cue to clap, everybody. 3, 2, 1. Yay! We got a nice little crowd here. Honestly, I'm shocked. This is John Williams and Ernie Scanton is here. Griffin Filipich is our producer. Marlene Wells, the famous Marlene, and her husband Rick are here. Whenever we're on the road, they do all the heavy lifting. So thank you, gang, for being part of that. So we are at Swedish Days in Geneva as part of the radio station's Hometown Voices Tour. We pick spots that are throughout the Chicagoland area. And I think if you're going to know, as we said in a little commercial announcement for this remote, if you're going to know Chicago, you sure need to know Geneva. Bloomberg Business said this is one of the best places to raise a child in the state of Illinois. It's the county seat of Kane County, and yeah, you might clap for that. You drive around here and you go, oh, I want to be here. Joe Brand, of course, is the play-by-play voice of your Kane County Cougars. I said, Joe, this is perfect. It'll be a home game for you. So where is Joe today?
Burlington, Iowa.
We should have scheduled this for a home game, Joe.
I know. Yeah. I'm really jealous of you out there. It's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah, isn't this great? And then you do the games out here at the field, and you were telling me you get a pretty good crowd, don't you?
Absolutely. We're right in the sweet spot of the middle of summer, even though the weather might not be cooperating with us for the most part. But yeah, every Thursday through Saturday, really Thursday through Sunday, it's a window of fantastic crowds. It's always a blast.
Yeah. Well, we've got a really nice crowd here right now. All ages, sizes, and descriptions. And there's a lady here who's French by marriage. And she just told me, Diane Moreau did, that she is sorry she can't join us on our Kelly Cruz's trip to Normandy because her husband is from one of the towns that we are going to cruise by. So it's nice to meet the folks as they come by and say hello to us. We're in the beer tent, which is not editorial. That's just, I think it's a tent. It's shady for us here. And sitting next to me is the mayor of this fair city, Kevin Burns. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
I'm going to pick your microphone up
a little bit. Yeah, pick that up a little bit. And I want to thank my family for clapping.
Actually, we have a nice crowd here. So who are these people that you are waving to over there?
Well, directly in front of me is the city administrator of the city of Geneva, Stephanie Dawkins.
Hold on. I'm going to pick your mic up.
Yeah, this thing is all. She runs the show every day.
Yeah.
Stephanie Dawkins is our chief administrative officer, so she's here to make certain I woke up and attended.
How long have you lived in Geneva?
I've called Geneva home for 46 years.
And what do you do when you're not the mayor of Geneva? Is that a full-time occupation?
It's a part-time gig.
Yeah. What's that pay?
What's that pay?
Yeah.
Including benefits, which are zero, and pension, which are zero.
Yeah.
The total cash compensation is approximately $22,000 a year.
So you need another job. What else do you do?
It's about a buck a citizen. That's what it is. So
that's what it is.
It's a town
of 22,000.
Isn't that something?
At least according to the last census. And this has been a hot growth area, too.
It's been very hot growth, yes.
Yeah.
It's a good place to live.
So what else do you do?
I do fundraising for Special Olympics Illinois.
I see. How's that go for you?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary group of athletes and an extraordinary group of volunteers.
So you're a professional fundraiser.
I am.
How do you do that?
Well, I sit with people like you and ask for money.
Yeah. That must be hard to do, or I don't know. Special Olympics probably has such a warm spot in people's hearts.
It does.
It's easier for them to write that check.
Well, it's certainly an investment in the athletes' futures and the inclusionary lifestyle that we're all trying to achieve.
Yeah. You know, I was just telling you a little bit about, so I went to Wikipedia to learn about your fair city.
Oh, you did? Well, don't believe everything you read.
No, it's all good. You're on the Fox River. You're the Kane County seat. You are 35 miles from downtown. There's a Metra stop here.
Extraordinary, about six blocks away.
What's the sports in this town? So you've got Kane County Cougars. The high school teams are pretty good, I suppose.
High school teams are extraordinary. The home of the Geneva Vikings.
You did some announcing for them, right?
I did. I had the pleasure of being the public address announcer for basketball, soccer, baseball, football.
And speaking of sports, you said that Jack Brickhouse, the legendary Cubs announcer, WGN Radio employee, What's his connection to this town?
Jack Brickhouse owned a radio station located on West State Street called WGSB. GSB stands for Geneva, St. Charles, Batavia.
I didn't know Jack owned a station.
He owned the station, yes.
You know, I think a lot of us that do what I do, like I started my career after college at WSPY in Plano, Illinois.
You shared that with me. That's amazing.
I lived in Sandwich. And
Now, where did you go to college?
Southern Illinois, Carbondale.
Not familiar.
It's a great broadcast school. It really is. It's about as far away as you can be and still in the state. It is that as well. They've had a good baseball program over the years.
Very good.
I was talking to some Huskies fans over here just a little while ago, but Southern's got good sports, and it was a great school for me. Graduated, and I got my first job at WSPY in Plano.
Wow.
Lived in Sandwich and did a bunch of things there, including eventually the morning show where I got to talk a little bit, and that kind of started my career path. But I love this neck of the woods.
It's a beautiful place.
Fox River. So when people ask you about Geneva, what do you tell them? What's the highlights? What are the lowlights? What about this town?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. When people ask me where I'm from and I share with them, outside Chicago, in a little place called Geneva, they automatically know what I'm talking about, primarily because of where we are today. The iconic historic shopping district, the fact that Geneva is known for its hospitality, its shopping, its dining, its welcoming environment, that's what's most flattering.
Is it Swedish?
It is in part Swedish. We've got a lot of different nationalities represented. In fact, the town was founded in part by not just Swedes, but also Italians.
Yeah.
So we've got the United Nations, if you will, in a microcosm right here in Geneva.
But you have Swedish days.
We have Swedish days simply because of a vote the Irish didn't win. So,
yeah. I said I was going to bring some Swedish fish.
Well, that would be good.
And this is my display here.
That's it?
And the first guy that came up gave me a box of jujubes in exchange for a couple of Swedish fish.
Ah,
so
yes. Well,
feel free to enjoy Swedish fish. Isn't lutefisk a Swedish dish?
You're asking an Irish guy, man. I believe it is, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Minnesota. You know, I mean, at least I spent 8 years or 9 years there, and that's kind of a staple of the culture,
yes.
Not the
yes,
cuisine.
It is.
But it's not very good. So
that's the rumor.
Yeah.
I hate to judge.
So is this area growing, expanding, or what do you guys
think? We are growing. When I moved to Geneva back in 1974, the population was about 8,000. It's now nearing 23,000. So it is growing. But Geneva is unique. We are a community of about 9 square miles. And we've virtually stopped growing geographically. But we are seeing pressure, some good, some not so good, with respect to growing within those boundaries.
Oh, yeah, because then you've got more kids wanting to go to schools.
Well,
you've got
exciting,
referenda
though, yeah.
issues.
It's all part of the beauty of living in a community that people want to call home.
You've got tax issues.
Well, we don't tax anybody here. So it's all good. So in fact,
really,
yeah.
Boy, I'm going to move to Geneva,
yeah.
Because I've heard that taxes are a real concern for people, not necessarily in Geneva, but anywhere you move, and especially if it's a very popular
Well, of
area.
Course, it's a matter of investment. So you get what you pay for. And
yeah.
We believe that Geneva is one of the best communities in Illinois.
Yeah.
And if you want to make certain that community remains top, you invest in that community.
So you got a Viking ship here, right?
We do have a Viking ship just on the other side of the river. It's extraordinary.
Talk to the friends of the Viking ship in a little while. I've, you know, lived in and around the Chicago area for a long time, and I have not seen that thing.
It's extraordinary. It came to the Columbian Exposition,
right?
As you well know.
Well, it was found on a farm in Sweden, right?
That's right.
They
That's
unearthed
right.
it and brought it to the Columbian Exposition, so it's an authentic Viking ship.
It's extraordinary, yeah.
And then refurbished it over the years?
They refurbished it, and it's now made of Trex. No, they refurbished it completely, so it's something to behold.
Legos. Yeah, and then and is it seaworthy?
I would assume it's not.
Yeah.
But it's certainly seeing worthy, because it's a place to be and behold the history of the...
You have an authentic Dutch mill?
Yes, we do.
Which is 8 stories high and goes back to about 1850 when this
correct.
Town was first founded, or around then?
We call that City Hall.
Is that really?
No. No, but...
You know, you tell jokes, and I don't know you well enough to know when you're telling me something I need to know or when
well,
you're being funny.
Well, it's interesting, because I've never listened to you, so this is all new to me.
So, do you have trouble with that? Like, because as a mayor, you've got to be careful what you say.
Sometimes it's a little dicey, yeah.
You know, if you get to be a little too flip, maybe you'll say something
well, that's
and
you'll
regret it.
That's why Stephanie Dawkins keeps a good eye on me, because oftentimes I'll get a text or email saying, enough's enough.
Yeah, my producer just tapped me on the arm and said, you got to take a commercial break. Let's do that very quickly.
Fantastic.
There's a couple of other things to talk about. We are in Geneva, can you tell? We're at Swedish days. We got a nice little crowd around here.
We do. It's beautiful. hear from last night still.
You know, I will say this, even as we were setting up, and we do a lot of remotes like this, but you get the sense that people are boosters. They're very proud of Geneva.
Hey, Griffey, out there?
Yeah. And I think that was the station telling us, hey, you guys got to take a break. We'll pause. We're at Hometown Days, Swedish Days,
Swedish
our Hometown
Days,
Voices
yes.
tour on WGN. You know what? I'm going to change glasses, Griff. I have my sunglasses on. The prescription on them isn't perfect, but oh, my gosh. I just put, oh, my God, who are you?
Mr. Burns.
From The Simpsons.
Mr. Burns is here. Kevin Burns, not Ken Burns. No relation to
no
the
relation whatsoever.
History
sadly,
family?
Yeah.
Get the most from your summer and save with CD1 Price Cleaners. In Chicagoland, dry cleaning prices can vary depending on what type of garment you're having cleaned unless you visit CD1 Price Cleaners. According to a 2018 study, the dry cleaning prices at CD1 Price Cleaners are around 60%, 60, less than the competition, because every garment is one low price. So your dress, ladies, would cost typically around $10 to have dry cleaned. CD does it for less than $4. And with their dry cleaning same-day service, if you drop it in by 10, it's ready that day. They give you pre-ready order alerts. That is, if your cleaning is ready, they send you a text, and they've got free gourmet coffee for you, too. So you're in and out quickly and able to enjoy the summer. They've been doing this for 35 years. They've got 34 locations. That is CD1 Price Cleaners. You can make your Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best. That's at 10. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 on WGN-TV. It's about 23 after 10. 10:23 on WGN. We're at Swedish Days. We're in Geneva, Illinois. We're with Campbell and 3rd Street.
Campbell and 3rd, exactly.
We're in the beer tent at this annual event. And Kevin Burns, no relation to Ken.
None whatsoever.
Is sitting next to us. He's the mayor of this fair city. They got the basketball tournament going on over here.
They do, which is pretty exciting. This keeps the local hospital very busy.
It's a 3-on-3 tournament.
It is a 3-on-3.
I love street 3-on-3 basketball tournaments. I used to play in those in Peoria. They had the Gus Macker traveling tournament.
Huge, huge.
And I'm glad to see you guys set up one as well. Then you've got all sorts of street vendors. The Lions Club over here has the... That's the Lions.
This is the Rotary right
the
here.
The Rotary. Oh, God, don't tell them I said
actually,
that.
I have no clue. Let's check and look.
No, that's the Rotary.
That's the Rotary.
That's
Club,
the
yeah.
Rotary.
Sorry about
in
that.
Fact, I was talking to Chuck Miles a little while
oh,
ago.
Oh, yeah, Chuck's a good man.
He harassed us when we walked in right
yes,
away.
He is. He's the town harasser.
Those folks are there, and you are here. And so your last best pitch to Chicagoland, why should they come to your fair city, sir?
They should come for a multiple of reasons. Number one, if you want an easy escape from the hustle and bustle of what is called Chicago, you can either hop on the train, take an hour ride west.
Yeah, you guys, I didn't realize you had a metro stop here.
Are you kidding
me? The Geneva stop.
This is how Geneva was built.
Is it the Union Pacific?
It is the Union Pacific, the West Line.
Yeah. By the way, just while we're thinking of Chicago and Geneva,
yes.
Lori Lightfoot was on Colbert last
yep.
night. And then what's your city or your connection to Chicago and the mayor?
Well, Lori Lightfoot actually texted me last night saying, how did I do? And I thought, well, you did well.
I don't know how you got elected because how do they know when you are
this is when you This is when you cut the programming right now. My daughter's great-great-grandfather was the mayor of Chicago.
My daughter's
back in 1889 to 1891, DeWitt Clinton Kregear.
No kidding.
And prior to being mayor, he was the commissioner of the water department. His name appears on the water tower in Chicago. So the city burns down, then he gets elected mayor. It's the ultimate comeback story.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now that's a great story. I don't believe any of it because of the way
you it's true.
Comported yourself, sir.
Check it out. I love being on WLS Radio. This is fun.
Oh, God. We are. Oh, God, look at the clock. Well, a round of applause for your fine mayor here. Actually, I do see why he got elected, and he's good-looking, too.
Well, so. This is the beauty of radio, isn't it?
It's nice to meet you, Kevin.
Pleasure meeting you, sir. Thank you.
And really, the hospitality you and your staff and all of the people around town have shown us has been very much appreciated. All right, we'll pause here. We'll head back to our downtown Chicago studios. We've got the news there. And then afterwards, who's next that we're going to be visiting with, Griff? We've got, is it the restaurateur, right? Joe Gargano, is that right? Tony Gargano? I don't have the writing in front of me. But anyway, well, listen to the guy who runs a restaurant. Is it a good restaurant?
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good news. We'll also talk to the Viking ship people as well. We'll pause here. It's 27 after 10. This is WGN.
Mamma mia, here I go again.
It's the 2019 Swedish Days Festival from Geneva. This is WGN's Hometown Voices. Back to John Williams on 720 WGN.
We're at Swedish Days on WGN Radio. This is John Williams. We're at Campbell and 3rd Street. We're not too far from the courthouse. We are in the beer tent. A nice little crowd is gathered around us here. You know, Griffin, I told them back at the station, I said, I want to hear some Swedish music when we come out for Swedish Days. So naturally, they think of ABBA.
So they spent 5 minutes thinking about that.
I know, but you know,
more ABBA. Time than I spent on it. That was rude. I'm sorry.
ABBA. I mean, the interglobal. I mean, one of the greatest groups of all time. I guess.
I'm not mad.
You don't sound it. And then Avicii, which is a music producer and a tragic story. But what great music!
I know.
And then we have some Swedish folk music coming up. And who's the Swedish singer that you like?
Jens Lekman.
Jens Lekman. Who has nothing to do with Geneva, Illinois, I guess, but Swedish.
Swedish.
It's Swedish.
Yeah.
So that's Griffin Filipich, our producer. Ernie Scanton is there. There's Marlene and Rick Wells. Marlene works here. Rick does, but he doesn't get paid for it. So it's always nice to see them at our events. And we visited with the mayor from Geneva just a little while ago, Kevin Burns. Tony Gargano is sitting next to me right now. He's the owner of Osteria Bigolaro, which is the restaurant that everybody's talking about right now. Tony, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm doing great.
You're all potential paying customers.
Yeah, I hope so.
How long has your restaurant been in business?
About a year and three quarters.
Just Italian restaurant?
Yeah, Italian. Yeah.
Obviously. And a year and three quarters?
Yeah, we're coming up on our 2 year in September.
The first year is the hardest?
It is, and we survived.
I mean, of course, it would be if you're only in business 2 years. How would you know? But I think a lot of businesses with good ideas or good chefs or good concepts or whatever still don't make it past that 1 year mark.
Yep. Yeah, it's a high percentage that fail that first year, and we've surpassed that, which is great.
What's the biggest lesson you learned in the first year?
Oh, my gosh. The biggest lesson is to stay patient, which I'm still learning because I'm far from patient.
You open up the doors. Did people come right in, or has it been a slow build?
It was a slow process. To be honest, we opened up the weekend of Festival of the Vine with no liquor license, so that was tough for us.
Wait, Festival of the Vine, I'm just going to guess now, is a wine
thing? It is a wine festival.
Yeah. And you didn't have a what?
Liquor license,
right.
We're still in the process. So usually Italian food and wine go really well together, right?
Yeah, you had lemonade.
Yeah, pretty much, and fantastic Geneva water. That's about it for a good week. But it's been growing really, really well. I mean, we've got a lot of accolades, and it's just continuing to grow, which is great to see. And, you know, we put a lot of love in what we do, so it's nice to see the results, you know, kind of show.
So what's your history? You grew up in, did you say Batavia?
Bartlett.
Bartlett.
Yeah.
And which is not far from here.
Nope.
That's in the neighborhood, so you knew about Geneva growing up. But then you went out east, right?
Yeah, I spent about 3 months in Sorrento, Italy, which is a little bit southern, about 30 minutes south of Naples. I was a part of my culinary program at Le Cordon Bleu, downtown Chicago. So I stayed with a lovely family that owned a bed and breakfast and really kind of honed in on the essential true Italian food from Italy, not so much our kind of typical Italian-American Midwest style.
Oh, so what's the difference?
A lot less cream, for sure. A lot lighter. A lot of seafood out there. A lot of fruits. But the heaviness is not there.
In your restaurant?
In our restaurant. So we try to replicate that as much as possible our guests.
I thought that when you distinguish different types of Italian cooking, it's red sauce, white sauce. Your red sauce?
Mostly red sauce and actually pasta water and a little bit of butter.
Huh.
Yeah, I went to a French school, so I do enjoy my butter.
Yeah,
so that's hard. It's hard to get rid of. So we do finish the majority of our pastas with our pasta water, which is the biggest secret. We have a huge pasta well that just collects all that starch, which is the key to, it's almost a binder that connects the pasta to the sauce.
And you make your own pasta and your own bread at your place.
Every day. We make our homemade pasta, homemade bread, homemade
cheese.
So
you learned how to do all that. So was it always your long desire to open up your own restaurant someday?
It was. When I was a late bloomer going into this industry. My family owned some pizzerias in Bartlett. So I was kind of always attracted to food. But it wasn't until I was about 21, 22 where I really wanted to choose it as my career. And then it kind of just led me to opening a restaurant. I told my wife, I did not get into this industry not knowing I'm going to open up a restaurant. I knew one day I was going to because it's a lot of long hours and very little pay.
I think, you're laughing, right? I mean, I won't ask you if you're profitable yet, but I would imagine you're just living on the margins because you've got so many startup costs, you've got to get people in the door, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, we are making money, so that's good.
Good.
It's very rare. I think the concept that we do is very smart. So a lot of businesses fail because they only focus on the food, right? You see a lot of these big chefs, they partner up with business people, right? Because a lot of our chef mindset is food, 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 not so much the food cost, the labor that goes into it. So I've had the luxury to work with some great people to learn the business side of things more than just the food side, which helps the profit.
You are going to be on one of the Guy Fieri contest shows.
Yes. So I'm not sure if I'm supposed to announce it, but we're going to do it.
Okay.
It's
Grocery Games?
Guy's Grocery Games. Yeah.
Guy's Grocery Games.
Yep. So it's on Food Network. It's, I think, their 23rd or 24th season. I flew out mid-January, and my episode is going to air December 25th. So it's a Christmas present that I'm not really looking forward to because I did not do well.
Oh,
just throwing it out there.
Oh, no. So wait a minute. They taped it in January of this year.
Yep.
And they're not going to run it until
December 25th.
Almost a year later on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And what happens on the show?
So the show pretty much consists of four chefs who compete round by round. And then that last person or last chef that survives, they have 10 to 15 minutes to collect items in a grocery store that went up to 20 grand.
So what was the challenge for you? What did you have to do?
So my episode was a from scratch, which I thought was perfect, considering we do everything from scratch. And our first round was a soup and a sandwich round. So mentally, I knew I was going to make Belgian waffles for my bread, right? Because we couldn't use bread. And then right before we do the whole 3-2-1 go, for those who have seen the show, Guy stops productions, and we kind of have this little scratch-off thing that we do, right? We had a secret ingredient we had to use.
Oh.
And mine was star fruit. Okay.
Star fruit.
Yes. Okay. So as a chef, you think that we know everything, right, about food. I focus on Italian food. And in Italian cuisine, there's not a lot of star fruit. So we had five minutes.
What is star fruit?
It is a southern, it's crisp like an apple.
Yeah.
Right? So it literally looks like a star. It's like lime green. Very pretty.
Yeah.
Very mild in flavor.
Okay.
But of course, when you have all the cameras on you, right, everything you know kind of goes out the window. So I spent about 5 minutes saying, what the heck am I going to do with this star fruit instead of worrying about everything else?
Right.
So 3-2-1 go. We're running around the grocery store. I literally grabbed every star fruit off the shelf, about 36 of them, right, for three judges. Okay, so you could tell their nerves were setting in. So I did a grilled heirloom tomato sandwich with a attempted apple and star fruit gazpacho, which is like a chilled soup.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, but it didn't go over too well. but the sandwich they loved. The Belgian waffle turned out great, you know, but it was one of my proudest and unproudest moments.
What happened to the soup? What happened to the soup?
You know, just, you know, you have 30 minutes to shop and cook. You know, how to develop flavor that fast is not easy. And then chilling it, of course, didn't happen.
Well, and I, you know, when I watch those shows, I sometimes wonder what the practicality or talent of it is, right? Like, that's not how the world works. Mm-hmm. In no planet does anybody have to, from scratch, cook for judges in 30 minutes. Maybe in a couple days, or maybe you pick the ingredients. So maybe it's not the best distiller of who's a good chef.
Exactly. And that was the one thing I kind of struggled with, because as a chef, you know, we're prideful in a sense, right? I mean, we put all of our love into what we do. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, my gosh, people are going to see this. They're not going to come to the restaurant anymore, right?
Well, not for the Gestapo. Or
the gazpacho or Gestapo the
Gestapo. Or the Gestapo.
Yeah. And so, yeah, none of it's going to be on the menu. It was a hard time for me to kind of reel in. And listen, this doesn't justify who I am as a chef. It doesn't justify what we do at Osteria Bigelaro. So I'm finally over that. Then, of course, I get the news when it's going to air, and all those emotions come back. So
yeah, well, it's on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So maybe if say you won, then you'd want it to be prime time, you know, Monday night at 7 o'clock. If you wanted to bury it, a lot of people aren't watching TV Christmas morning, right, or Christmas Day.
I know I'm not. And I won't be, that's for sure.
And besides, I think in your restaurant you can say, are you going to do something like this? I mean, I think it's a feather in your cap that you were on a Guy Fieri show.
For sure, absolutely.
You know, you don't have to say you won.
Yep.
As seen on.
Absolutely. We could definitely market this in a good way.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. So what's the special tonight before I let you go?
So everything's special. That's what I like to say on our menu. We literally have a small, small menu where we specialize in everything from, like I said, our cheeses, our pastas. So everything is special tonight.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. I have only heard good things from the community. Folks, when I said I was going to talk to you, they said, oh, that's a really dynamite restaurant.
Thank
and
you.
A real addition to what is a pretty competitive town,
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
You told me off the air there's two things you should never buy.
a house and a business in Illinois. I'm 0 for 2. But I'm happy, so it's good.
But it's good. But it's good. It's all good.
It's working out.
How about a round of applause for Tony Gargano? He's the owner of Estéreo Bigalaro, which is what's the address?
317 West State Street. So we're pretty much under the old theater marquee.
Okay.
Right around the corner here.
Good. Nice to meet you, Tony.
Absolutely.
Thanks
nice
for coming
to meet
by.
You. Thank you.
What's the time, Griffin? It is. Oh, look at that. It is now 10:47. We'll take a break here and visit with more of the folks in beautiful Geneva, Illinois on WGN. Oh, no kidding. Really? Really? Hold on a second. Let me have this here. What's your name?
Cynthia.
Cynthia, where are you from?
St.
Charles, Illinois. Hold on a second. I got to get Ernie. He's going to turn that microphone. You're from St. Charles?
St. Charles, yes.
I see it. Who is this?
That's my sister.
Well, thanks for saying hi. So you won tickets from us on WGN Radio when the Cubs were on our station.
Yes, that was years ago, yeah. And you were singing Take Me Out to the Ball
no.
Game.
Oh,
and
no.
And Kathy and Judy were on the air still.
Oh,
missed
no.
them.
Yeah, we all do, but...
And
Take Me Out to the Ball Game is a bad memory for me.
Why? I know. That's
know
why
I
had to bring it up.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. I mean, there's only when you sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a Cubs game, it's one of the great honors of our city. And we were associated with the Cubs at the time, of course,
totally.
So some of us got a turn. And I got my one chance to go up in the booth and watch Pat and Ron, and then I got to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the seventh inning. And you want to do two things. What are they, Griffin, when you do Take Me Out to the Ball Game at Wrigley Field?
I don't know. Get the words right, which I think
yes.
is where this story is going. You want to do two things. You want to be really good or you want to be... Well, really bad, like Mike Ditka bad, like drunk out of breath bad. But I wasn't either, so I had it. I knew what I was doing.
But anyway, we wanted to let you know we are so glad that you're
back in
Chicago.
What was the word? It was. Did you say take me out to the park?
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the
park.
And not crowd. Does everybody know that? I mean, is that pretty common knowledge? Is that something I should have in my inventory of facts?
You should have paused to be like, no, I know the other way. I've thought about it. I like this.
I have an exciting new way to sing this song. So that was my history, yeah. Well, it's good to be here, though. It's nice to meet you.
Yes, same. We're so glad to have you back on the air in Chicago. Glad that you and Brenda are back in Chicago.
We like being here.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for coming to Geneva.
Aren't we lucky? Yeah, this is a great little town you got here.
Yes, take care.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Yes.
And nice to meet you. And I'm going to hand the microphone to that guy right over there for a second. Hey, Frank. Griff, give it to Frank. Hi, what's your name?
Frank.
Frank,
Alfano.
And you're here with Lori.
I'm here with Lori.
Lori, hi, Lori. Frank and Lori were on our last cruise that we did with Kelly Cruises. We were in, was it a Bertrand trip? It was the Bertrand trip.
No. It was Kelly Cruise, and then the last one we went to London.
Bertrand was London, and then the one before that was Kelly Cruises.
Exactly.
Those are the two big cruise providers that we travel with at the radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
So you are not going on our next trip up the Seine to Normandy.
No, we wanted to, but it didn't
What was
work
the
out.
Highlight of our trip to London, would you say? For you, anyway. What would you and Lori, when you talk about it?
Well,
these nice people were on the trip, too. Come over here for just a second. We've got some of our fellow cruisers here. Hand her the microphone for 1 second while you think about it. What is your name?
I'm Kay.
Hi, Kay. Hello.
That's Joe.
Joe is here, too. So what was the highlight of the trip for you?
So when we got the puncture on the coach.
Yes. We're all of us Chicago WGN listeners, we're all on this big bus. We're all traveling around. Our bus gets a flat tire, and we are on schedule. We have to get on the London Eye to go on that giant Ferris wheel.
Right.
We don't have a bus, and we got to get there.
Right. So we go out to the street, and our tour guide, who is a very nice woman,
Dynamite,
says, we have a puncture on the coach.
And nobody knew what she was talking about. Puncture. But the tire's been punctured. That's what they call it.
Exactly.
A flat.
Yeah. And so we all gathered together and got on the tube.
Yeah, we rode the subway.
That was fun, but it was a little bit nerve-wracking for some people to make sure that everybody got on when they were supposed to and everybody got off when they were supposed
to. We were aged 45 to 85.
Plus, we had to transfer.
And we had to transfer. I mean, I know folks have trouble doing that on the CTA. In a foreign country, nothing seems more foreign than somebody's public transportation if you're not familiar with it. So here come 40 of us or so getting on two different train cars and zooming up the L,
the tube.
Yep.
Hopefully getting off on the right stop. Hopefully transferring to the next one, and we all got there alive.
Got there great.
That actually was a highlight of the trip. It was an adventure.
It was, and that and the train trip that we took.
Now, what do you say?
I was saying along those same lines. I mean, the whole trip was wonderful, and we saw wonderful things, and really, really great. But along those lines, it was also the matter of we almost missed the train to Scotland.
Yeah.
Because our bus took a wrong turn, and it took us 40 minutes to get around.
Yeah, just get a little closer to that, yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, we got there with less than 15 minutes to go.
15 minutes to go.
Right. And she said, well, you can't get on the train if you're not there by 5 of.
Yeah.
And I guess I heard that she ran ahead of us. We had to portage all our luggage because we're now going to a different country. And she jumped the turnstile.
Yeah.
And we're all running behind her with all our luggage, you know, and our ages range from, what, 20-something to 88?
I said 45 to 85.
Well,
they were younger.
Yeah, yeah. So it was quite a scene with all of us running to the train.
Yeah, and good times.
Oh, yes.
But, I mean, that was another adventure.
It was good times because we made it.
And when you do that, if you ever have the good fortune of being in London and you want to take that train to Scotland, it's luxury travel at 125 miles an hour for about 4 or 5 hours, watching the countryside of England roll by. We finally got up to Edinburgh, Scotland. That was the highlight of the trip, that's for sure.
And if you can do it the first class, because that was
And it wasn't that much more expensive. I think our tickets were about $100. Was that about right?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Something like that. So it certainly was worth a slight uptick for a cross-country travel at first-class accommodations. Well, it's nice to see you guys. Thanks for coming down and saying hello.
Thank you, John. It's great to see you.
All right, we have to take a break. Griffin said, John, you got to go into the newsroom back downtown. Afterwards, we'll visit with another big feature here in Chicago. What are you pointing at, Frank?
More people from the trip.
Where?
Right here.
I don't see. Oh, yes, they are here. The younger crowd is here, I see. Hello. In the next hour, you know, one of the big deals in Geneva, tourist-wise, is that Viking ship. Sammy Bamberger, who is with the Friends of the Viking Ship, if you have been to Geneva and you haven't done this, you got to do that. We'll catch you up on that after the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Stories the Matter, coming up on WGN.
Route 62. So wake me up
when it's all over. Celebrating all things Swedish at Swedish Days Festival in Geneva. Welcome to WGN Radio's Hometown Voices. Here's John Williams on 720 WGN.
We are at Swedish Days on WGN Radio. This is John Williams. Okay, there's your cue. Yeah. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. You know, when you do Swedish Days in Geneva, the people here are so nice, friendly, welcoming, and numerous. And they're all such boosters of this town that you get very caught up during the newscasts, and you kind of lose your way, and then you put on the wrong headphones and microphone. And Ernie's looking at me like, well, I'm pretty sure the microphone works, but John seems to be wearing the wrong one. So if there was a gap in the audio there, that would explain it. And actually, it's not my fault. It's this lady's fault. I'm going to take this microphone and just say hello to one of the local... I don't know. Are you a local resident? What's your name?
Janine,
where are you from?
Right now, Wheaton.
Oh, no kidding. So you're out this way.
Yeah. And we were out in Campton Hills.
Campton Hills.
And then we moved to the city when you moved.
Oh, no kidding. You've been following the...
Yeah, well, I was one of the people that called you up and said, just sell the big house and do it.
And
now we're back in Wheaton.
Yeah, well, we are now in a condo up by Wrigley Field,
yeah,
Brenda
and
Daisy. But you listen to the radio station?
Every day, and if I miss it during the day, I listen to it while I'm not sleeping at night.
Oh, you catch the podcast, do you?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, I am amazed at how many people come up and tell us they listen every day, and it's the podcast they listen to.
Yeah,
not the over-the-air broadcast. Yeah, I know. Well, we do want you to patronize our sponsors. I want you to go to CD One Price Cleaners and get that shirt cleaned for under
$4. There you go.
And if your knees aren't good, I want you to go to the Joint Relief Institute.
I'm thinking about
Come on a Kelly Cruise with us. They're really wonderful people.
Honey, Time to take me on a vacation.
Are you looking at your husband over there? I'm telling you, kellycruises.com. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to say hi.
Well, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for saying hi. In fact, I know that listening to us maybe over the airwaves or via a podcast in a little while, or Dawn and Brian, who were on our last trip, and they're listening to us in, where is that, Frank? Nashville, Tennessee. They were Chicagoans and left the area, but still stay connected to Chicago via WGN Radio, and they are wonderful people. By the way, when we were driving out here this morning, and I don't know if you noticed this, Griff. Griff and I drove out this morning. We took the Eisenhower out from downtown Chicago to 88 out to Geneva, and people were going really fast. Were you noticing the velocity of some of the cars that were going by us?
No.
I'm doing like 70. And vroom, 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 because we came out like at 8 in the morning. And the Eisenhower and Route 88 aren't that busy at 8 in the morning. And so it's, I think, the most dangerous time. It's like if it's gridlock, how much trouble can you get in? But if it's you can do 70 and you have some room, some cars are zooming in and out, negotiating really fast. Ernie, you came out probably at 4 or 5 this morning, right? 5 a.m. Ernie was coming out. So you had the highway all to yourself. And every now and then there's someone doing Mach 2, and they're just like zooming by and weaving around. And I saw some of that. And then I was listening to Maple doing the news. And she said that the police, is it this weekend, Maple? I'm not sure if you've got your headphones on back at the station right now. But the cops are driving around, not in squad cars. They're driving around in like commercial vehicles. And they're in the passenger seat. And the cop is, so, you know, you see an apt delivery truck, you know, ahead of you, and you go by.
Actually, as she was reporting that, we saw an apt truck drive
okay,
by.
Okay, so, but in the passenger seat would be a police officer.
Yeah.
And he is not checking for your speed, although I suppose you shouldn't be speeding by him, but he's looking to see if you're messing around with your cell phone. And if you are a distracted driver, therefore, then he radios up ahead to the cops that are waiting, and then they pull you over and get you. I mean, this is in the news. I think it's a public service that I tell you this, not so you don't get a ticket, but rather so you don't do the distracted driving.
We're going to get our broadcast broken up.
But, I mean, that's what they do, and I guess that's pretty clever. You know, I think there's a fine line between us wanting the cops to be efficient and a little too sneaky about it all, and this is almost sneaky, but...
As someone who texts while driving, you're offended by this. it's not something to joke about. I don't know.
I used to text while driving. And by that, I mean occasionally I would glance down and read. I was never a text driver.
That absolutely counts as texting while driving. That's what it is. That's what it is.
It's while driving. But I don't even, but you know what they need to do is they need to come up with a thing. I mean, look, I can hands-free drive legally in Chicago, right? I just use the Bluetooth on my car, uh-huh. And I'm a legal, safe driver in Chicago because I'm talking. But people like to text even more so than talk. There is voice to text. So why aren't cars and phones made now so that when a text comes in, it reads the text to me, and then I can text back. I dictate like I do voice to text on my phone.
Yeah, I'm guessing that exists. Yeah, you just don't have it. I don't know.
If it does,
I'll look into it.
If my car can talk to me and read my text while I'm driving,
does, yeah.
That's a thing?
That exists. Yes.
You all are saying yes? That exists. I've got to figure that out. But in the meantime, the cops are now driving around, and if you are doing that, they'll see that. And I think that's shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, how many times do you see somebody looking at their phone while they're driving?
Yeah, all the time. That's why they're doing it. I don't know what is driving you.
What
here.
Is my point about all of this? Well, A, a public service. I want people to know about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And B, I think that people shouldn't be doing that. So I'm warning them not to be doing that because you're going to get caught.
I think that's, yes, yeah.
I don't know if that's coming across.
You sound worried for your own.
I do, don't I?
That is the tone that I'm picking.
And
there's a way to rectify that, and it's to not text while driving.
I do not do that.
Right.
Jennifer now is sitting next to me, and she's not real maybe sure why. She's the director of communications at the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Let's hear it for Jennifer now.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Be in your fair city.
Yes, it's great here.
So tell me a little bit about what you guys do.
So at Northern Illinois Food Bank, our headquarters are here in Geneva, and we aim to stop hunger in Northern Illinois. Make sure everyone has what they need.
You're not just Kent County, you're a region?
Nope. We are the 13 northern counties of Illinois with the exception of Cook County. So we're here in Kane, DuPage, right here. And then we're along the entire Wisconsin border. We are west out to Stevenson and Ogle, and then down all the way to Kankakee.
Got it. Wow, that's a larger region than I would imagine. And in fact, when I think of Geneva, I think this is a very prosperous area. What would be the need for a food bank? But if you take in the large geographical area, then there's probably need all about, huh?
There is need all about, and actually in that whole 13-county service area, it's one in seven people, one in five kids don't have enough food. And it's here in Geneva, too.
Yeah.
We're not exempt from it by any means. And so that's what we're trying to do. So we have headquarters here, and then we have three other distribution centers, one in Park City, Rockford, and Joliet.
How did they describe that? It's like food deprived or something like that?
Food insecure.
Food insecure, yeah.
Is the actual name, but I just call it hungry.
Yeah. Well, but I think, though, food insecure is maybe an apt way to put it, because nobody's going to starve to death in the United States and Northern Illinois right now. But what a terrible way to live if you are insecure about how and when and where you're going to get a meal, and especially a healthy meal.
Right.
Fruits and vegetables.
Healthy meals are most important, but really when I think about our families, our seniors, any vulnerable population, there's enough food here. There's food going to waste every day, and we're trying to stop that. So we rescue food from grocery stores and manufacturers, and we get it out to families that are having to make really tough choices every day between mortgage and rent or putting dinner on the table.
How do you rescue food from restaurants and grocery stores?
Restaurants is a little bit tricky, but grocery stores is a bit easier. So we have some fantastic relationships with Jewel Osco, Walmart, Target, Mariano's, the list goes on. And when food isn't as saleable but still really good to eat, they give it to us, and they give it to our 900 food pantries, programs,
really,
and all that in our service area that are all part of our network to make sure that neighbors can come and get it.
How can folks help you now? I mean, outside of that, if I just wanted to make as a citizen a donation or a food donation, what do you want from our listeners?
The biggest thing we want is your dollars. I know that's really hard to say, but we can turn every $1 donated helps provide $8 worth of groceries because of those relationships. But also, we really need your time. Time is so valuable to us. We have volunteers that do so much work. It really extends our workforce. Last year alone, we had the equivalent of 65 employees through volunteer hours. And
wow,
that is so important. We have some really cool programs going on. And so volunteering in the past for us has always been warehouse, like repacking. And when we order receive big quantities of cereal or fruits and vegetables, we have to make that manageable, family-friendly. For our pantries, but now we've got some really great programs like My Pantry Express, and we are piloting a brand new, it's online food pantry for people who maybe aren't comfortable going and asking for help, making it a little bit more private, much like we're seeing all of our grocers doing.
Sure.
So we're piloting that in DeKalb and in North Chicago. We just hit our 1,000th order that was delivered to a family.
No kidding. Good for you guys.
Fantastic.
What a clever idea.
And we're the first ones in the country to do this.
How about it?
So we need help at our distribution center here in Geneva packing those orders. It's really hard because people are submitting their grocery orders. So we're going from, putting things into pound quantities to actually a grocery order. So we need help there. And we also need help at our distribution sites. And it is, let me tell you, I did it. I've done it several times. It is so rewarding to be able to see a family, know that they've ordered the food, you give that food to them, and the relief on their face is just so easy to recognize, and it'll make you feel real good about what you're doing.
I've had conversations with food pantries in the past, and you just touched on one thing before we go that I think should be emphasized. As much as you might want to donate food, that's fine if you have some.
Absolutely.
But really, the efficiencies and the scale that you all have is such that if I gave you a dollar, I can go buy a dollar worth of food. If I give you a dollar, you're going to buy $8 worth of food.
Absolutely.
And so, manage your donation that way if you can. A donation is maybe best in service hours, too. How can folks do either?
So either way, you can go to solvehungertoday.org and sign up to volunteer. You can also call us at 630-443-6910, and someone can certainly help you right away. It's really quick. I do have one other thing.
Yeah.
We always need help, but we're also here to help. So you can go to that same website, solvehungertoday.org, and you can get the help you need. You can find the closest pantry or program to you. You can find out more about our innovative programs like My Pantry Express and how we can help you and meet you where you need that help.
Boy, what great information.
Yep.
And that's solvehunger.org.
Solvehungertoday.org.
And do that phone number one more time, too.
Oh, that's always my tricky one because I don't feel like we have to memorize phone numbers anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's why. Okay.
I should know this one.
Solvehungertoday.org
yep.
or
630-443-6900. 10.
All right. Thanks for coming by. Congratulations.
Thank you so
much. What an innovative and sounds like successful program.
We're going to get there. We're going to get rid of hunger completely. That's our goal.
Jennifer now is with the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
It's 25 after. It's 11:25. Our Hometown Voices tour stop. We're broadcasting live from Swedish Days in Geneva. This is John Williams, and you're listening to WGN.
It's WGN Hometown Voices with John Williams, live from downtown Geneva, Illinois, at the 2019 Swedish Days Festival on 720 WGN.
Everybody, let's all clap. Woo, woo, woo. Like you mean it. Woo, woo, woo. Hometown Voices tour stop. We're in the beer tent. We're at 3rd and Campbell. We're near the courthouse, and we're watching the 3-on-3 basketball tournament here. It's a beautiful day. I get the feeling it's always like this in Geneva, Illinois.
It never rains.
I'm John Williams, and so we are at Swedish Days. There's Ernie, there's Marlene and Rick, and producer Griffin. We're glad that you're here. Hey, so we got a lot of things we want to accomplish here. Zach, just come up here and say hello real quick. I want to talk to Zach for a second. You are with the library. Is that right, Zach?
That's right, John. The Geneva Public Library District.
What's your last name?
Kraft.
I heard world class. Now, that's selling, but what are you selling?
Right now, we're in the middle of construction, just 3 blocks away at the corner of 6th and Campbell of our new library facility. Our current library is around 108 years old. It's a beautiful Carnegie library, but the citizens have, we've outgrown it, and we're, as libraries begin to modernize, it's time for us to modernize, and this new facility will be absolutely world-class.
So are you a library science guy?
No, I'm an educator by trade, so libraries are close to my heart.
I would say you would appreciate it, but when you go into a library these days, they sure look different than they used to.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not just a place for books anymore, but for the community to discover, inspire, and grow.
I like hardback books, though, still.
Oh, yeah. We'll have plenty of those. Our collection actually will expand.
No kidding.
Yep.
Good. Promise me that.
Absolutely. Guaranteed.
Well, that's terrific. Okay, so what can folks do to help you guys?
You know, we have our wonderful Geneva Public Library Foundation. So we have generously been, you know, given the money by the taxpayers to build a wonderful, beautiful building, but now the foundation is working to make that even, you know, more top-notch and to the next level. So always donate to the foundation, and then just come and check us out. Come to our meetings. Come in and see the new facility. Hopefully late fall, early winter, we'll be opening the doors.
What's the website to search you out?
GPLD.org.
Yeah.
GPLD.org. Come and visit us and see what we got going on. It's exciting times.
Good for you, Zach. Well done.
All right. Thank you very much,
nice
John.
To meet you. And by the way, thanks for listening. You listen to us, do you not?
Yep. I listen to the podcast typically a day late in my office, but yep, every day.
Another podcast listener.
Right.
It's amazing.
I'm a millennial, after all.
hey, if you're listening, we win. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John.
That's what your town is like.
Absolutely.
So I'm sitting now visiting with Laura Rush. She's the communications manager at the Chamber. Everybody's like, are they all on the payroll, these people?
You know what? It's just a very friendly, community-focused, you want to raise your family here kind of town.
And I'm sure there are issues, but it sure does seem like everybody's pulling on the same rope here.
You know, it is. Everybody steps up. They volunteers. You know, an example, obvious, Swedish Days, we have 175 people that volunteer for us during the week.
It's a 6-day festival.
It is.
I would cut back.
Well, we might. Talk to us next week.
It looks like a lot of work. I mean, not only is this expansive, but 6 days. Wow.
Without the community, we couldn't do it. Without the businesses, we couldn't do it. Without, you know, City of Geneva, we couldn't do it. So we're very, very fortunate where we live.
What are the draws? Is it the restaurants? Is it the hotels?
Geneva in general?
Yeah.
It's everything. We're very lucky that we have a very historic, quaint downtown.
Yeah.
So the shopping is definitely a very big draw. We have award-winning restaurants that just keep opening up. You know, as you talk to Tony, he's just one of our newer ones. It's getting away from Chicago. It's not too far. The train is right down 3rd Street. I mean, you can take the train from Chicago, hop off,
come
35
to Geneva.
Miles on Metro.
Yeah.
Boom, you're there.
And then just get right back on. And yeah. It's not too big. We're about 22,000, so it's not real big. The schools are good. The library, as you just heard, is phenomenal. The Park District. I could go on and on and on. That's why I've never left.
You're a lifelong resident from here.
Yeah, my kids were sixth generation to graduate from the high school.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I've met a lot of people who are similarly. This is what I'm talking about. You know, we do remote sometimes, and people don't like their towns as much as it seems like people in Geneva like Geneva. So what's the big issue here? What's the buzz in Geneva these days?
Oh, there's no issues. You know what? Actually, probably the one big issue is that we just don't have room to grow. We're landlocked between St. Charles and Batavia.
The mayor mentioned that.
Yeah, and there just isn't room to grow. And so more people, I think, would like to live here. They just can't find a home. The homes go very quickly if they go for sale.
I was just going to say, it's good if you're selling, but maybe tough if you're buying.
That's exactly right, yeah.
So people are sitting on some equity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because of everything that we have here and the word is out, your house goes up for sale, that you're going to sell very, very quickly.
Yeah. Well, so if folks are coming out here, is it 3rd Street? Is that the street to look for?
So we're a tea shopping district is how we would describe ourselves. So we have 3rd Street, and then we have State Street, which is Route 38. And then we have a bunch of tangents that just come off of there. You can easily spend a whole weekend here shopping, eating, staying at one of our hotels. We have something for everybody. But a lot of people just come down 3rd Street because that's what they see, but we're so much more than 3rd Street. We have the Geneva Commons, which is more of your brand name stores a little bit, too. It's outside shopping, a little bit like Oakbrook. So this is wonderful, and we love our downtown, but Geneva is so much more. We have parks, and we have, I don't even know, name it, we have it here.
It sure sounds like it. We're out of time.
Okay.
Anything else you want to tell us before you go?
We thank you so much for coming. Thrilled. And Swedish Days is still going on until tomorrow. We have a big parade at 1 o'clock that lasts about two and a half hours. We'd love to see you. If you can't come this year, it always starts the Tuesday after Father's Day. We'd love to see you next year or for any of our other festivals this year.
Well, by the way, real quick, you go, Festival of Vine. And then there's a couple of others. You have a dancing thing, too,
don't
you?
Well, we have Geneva Arts Fair, which is at the end of July, 27th to 28th. Festival of the Vine, September 6th and 8th. And then we have our Christmas walk slash house tour in December. But we don't have a dancing thing, but what we do, you were in Dancing with Chicago Stars?
I was.
I was in Dancing with Geneva Stars.
I'm sure you did better than I did. That's fun, though, isn't it?
It was fun.
You learned a little ballroom dancing?
We did. We did a jive.
Oh, wow.
I actually did it with a really good friend of mine because my husband didn't want to do it with me. and we won, so I guess that was the right decision.
A lot of guys are intimidated by or just don't want to learn it, and this is my speech about ballroom dancing. It's exercise.
Absolutely.
It's touching and moving, and it's fun to be with your partner that way. It's something to do that's not going to the bar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you go afterwards if you want. But Brenda and I, when we would take lessons, and we took a lot of them, we were both impressed with what a nice workout it was.
What dance did you do?
At the Dancing with the Stars, we did, what did I do? A quick step.
Oh, that's a hard one, too.
It certainly is.
Like the jive. It's fast.
Yeah, and I am not good at it. But but it was fun to try. Anyway.
Well, maybe we'll see you out doing a little quick step tonight to one of our bands.
Laura Rush, ladies and gentlemen, from your Chamber of Commerce. Okay. Let's take a break. I want to see or learn more about this Viking ship they have here. We're at Hometown Voices Tour, stop number 73,000, I think it is. We're in Geneva for Swedish Days on WGN.
If you're going to play in Texas,
there's a high, deep drive out of here to right field for the White Sox.
Tonight, the Sox are deep in the heart, taking on the Texas Rangers. The pregame starts with Mark Carmen and White Sox Weekly at 5:30. Ed and DJ with the first pitch from Arlington at 8:05.
The Sox play tonight on 720 WGN.
The key to a good barbecue is presentation. You can never have too much ice. No one likes a warm beer. I make the potato salad the night before, and I always have one of those special candles to keep the mosquitoes away. And most importantly, the steaks. I like mine rare. My wife insists on medium, and my brother Frank, well done. Like a hockey puck.
Before the big barbecue, don't forget to call Dec Tech.
Deck Tech cleans, seals, and protects your deck, restoring it to its natural beauty. In fact, Deck Tech has been helping Chicagoans enjoy everything from Mother's Day to Labor Day and everything in between for over 25 years. For a free estimate, call 800-956-DECK. That's 800-956-DECK. Or visit RestoreYourDeck.com. And for a limited time, receive a 10% discount when you mention this ad.
1-800-956-DECK. Call Deck Tech.
Attention investors, stocks got you sideways? Worried about interest rates or recession? Not earning a consistent 18 to 21% on your money? Then diversify into Class A income properties for cash flow and equity profits. National Realty's Class A Property Fund includes only prime income producing new construction properties built far below market value. You're secured, you're diversified with income from multiple properties paying you. You're prioritized in cash flow ahead of us, and substantial bank appraised equity on prime property backs you. National has a 12-year track record of proven success with over $800 million of property under management and hundreds of repeat accredited investors. Prime Brooklyn, Hoboken, West New York, and Delray Beach income properties support you. Stop losses, diversify from stocks, and get secured returns consistently. Call now for free information. Call 201-210-2727. That's 201-210-2727.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first and invest wisely. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. National is a real estate development firm. See us at NRIA.com.
Extra, extra. Increased tariffs lead to higher furniture prices.
Well, there's much more to the story.
The furniture getting all the press is made in China.
And yes, higher tariffs will cause prices on Chinese-made furniture to skyrocket. But we're not worried.
Because Penny Mustard's furniture isn't made in China.
94.2% of our furniture is made in the USA.
Our U.S.-made, solid wood, sophisticated Penny Mustard strong furniture will last generations longer than the junk made in China.
Now that's a headline.
PennyMustard.com.
All right, it's my turn. All right. Hold on a second. Let me tell you about one of my favorite new apps. It's called HomeSnap. In fact, I was thinking about this, and we were visiting with Laura Rush from the Chamber of Commerce. She was talking about how hot real estate is in Geneva. If you are shopping for a home, and this is if you're in Geneva or Chicago or wherever, you should have this app called HomeSnap. Wherever you get your apps, have it on your phone. It's free. You can also download it at gethomesnap.app. But you pull up to a house. It's on the market. It's not. You see a sign or you don't. And you take a picture of it through the app, and then everything on the MLS comes up there. The photography. You can link it to your real estate agent. You can actually communicate directly with the listing agent or share it with a friend. Hey, what do you think of this house? If the house isn't on the market, you get the price history. And if it is, you know how long it's been on the market and what all the features are. This app is dynamite. It's kind of fun. I mean, you could take a picture of your house and see what it says. It's called HomeSnap. All right. So what is the time, Griff? We're here for 9 more minutes on the radio. It's 11:51 or so. This is WGN. We're at the Hometown Voices Tour Stop in Geneva, Illinois. We have never been so welcome. The people here have been so nice. And sitting next to me right now is Sammy Bamberger, who is with the Friends of the Viking Ship. Hi, Sammy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
What Viking ship?
The Viking ship that's actually just across the street. So and anytime anyone here is done, feel free to just hop on down, take a right on State Street, take a left on 7th, and you will see it on the left-hand side. We're over in Good Templar Park. It's actually a ship that was sailed here for the 1893 Columbian Exposition. So those of you who read Devil in the White City, you actually might have seen it mentioned in there. Kind of fun.
I have. But I don't remember the mention of that.
It's very small, but it is in there. It was actually sailed by 12 very brave men who came over from Norway to bring that to the Columbian Exposition.
Okay, so I watched the video at the Friends of the Viking Ships website. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful video. It's really well done.
Thank you.
Kevin Nordine?
Dave.
Dave Nordine. Dave. Walks you through it. And I thought, that ship is too small to have sailed the Atlantic.
And that's what they wanted to prove, actually. Because at the time, the Columbian Exposition was there to honor Columbus. Believe it or not, most of us no longer subscribe to that belief that, you know, Columbus is the first of the Europeans to discover
the
New World.
Vikings.
Yes, everyone pretty much believes at this point that it's Leif Erikson who did that. And so what they did is they reconstructed the ship. It's actually modeled after the Gokstad, which was excavated in the 1880s. They wanted to prove that such a tiny ship could indeed make that journey. And these guys were insane. This is before, you know, ship-to-shore radio. They had just, like, canned food on board. They did not stop at any of the islands either. So anyone who's familiar with Viking history knows that they're stopping at the Shetlands, the Hebrides, Iceland, Greenland, etc. These guys just went straight from Bergen, Norway.
How long did it take?
It actually only took them 29 days.
29 days.
They packed 3 months of food and did it in 29 days.
Okay, so in other words, and
this ship was found intact on a farm in Sweden.
Yes, under a burial mound.
My goodness. And so then this is 1880s or something like that, and they say, let's prove that it could be done.
Yes.
They didn't sail that ship. It's an archaeological thing.
Exactly.
But it was amazing intact, and then they rebuilt that in 1890 and sailed it to the United States, and then it was displayed at the Columbian Exposition.
Yes.
The ship you have here?
The ship we have right here.
Is that ship?
That is that exact same ship.
Wow.
Yeah. She's kind of gone through a period of neglect, which is very sad, but the people of Geneva have been so amazing and welcoming, especially because this is a piece of Norwegian history that this historically Swedish town has let us be here for so long.
I cruise, but it's all-inclusive, and I'm telling you, it's great. The swimming pool, you know, the cocktails. They didn't have a swimming pool and cocktails.
Nope, they cooked right on the ship. They had this huge bronze platter that they put the coals in. We actually have a journal from one of the original men who sailed it, and he would get paranoid and toss it overboard all the time because that ship's also...
You never want to have a fire.
Right. Well, what people don't realize is a ship that old is actually also coated in pitch tar. So it's not just wood. It is flammable.
Did they have a roof on the boat?
What they had is they actually had a tent, just a very simple four post that went across it, little opening for some of the smoke to go through, and those guys just slept right on the deck under that.
I guess in that journey in 1890 en route to the Columbian Exposition, they must have been fortunate, right? I mean, the weather could have been catastrophic, too.
It could have. They actually had about 48 hours with which they were actually bailing from the ship. One of the modern conveniences they had was a pump, and the pump broke, as every time you need something, it just does not work.
Right.
They were actually bailing for about 45 hours by hand.
Did they sail or row? I mean,
they're going to sail. So rowing is essentially for still water, so like rivers. The Erie Canal was too narrow for them to row, so they were actually towed. Fun fact, come hear the story about how they actually sunk a steamboat and the ship is fine.
Oops.
But no, they're gonna sail across the ocean, so they only need about 12 men. But to row that, you're going to need over 30.
You have rivets in the boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Metal rivets?
Metal rivets.
And were those original to
1890? Those are original. We actually have a few that we've had to replace. We run a program where if you donate $5, it'll help us replace those rivets. The Scandinavian Peninsula is really lucky to have bog iron, and so that actually rusts slower than normal iron.
I wonder if anybody would try and replicate that now. I mean,
does that happen? They have been, yes. There are tons of ships. If everyone goes up to places, especially in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and actually out in Iowa as well, there are tons of people out there who are making smaller replica ships. There's also larger ones. If anyone's ever seen the Draken that's come into Chicago.
Well, I have, but are these people sailing them across the Atlantic? Are they going back to Sweden?
No. The Draken is the one that did, and they actually broke their mast trying it and had to turn around and get it fixed.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, to me, that is either foolish or courageous.
Yes. Pretty much everyone thought they were going on a suicide mission and actually would not insure that ship without some insurance fraud.
In 1890?
Yes.
I mean, really. So what was the purpose of that? Just these were just adventures? You wanted to prove it could be done?
You wanted to prove it could be done. You wanted to prove it to both Spain and Sweden that it could be done. Norway at the time was ruled by Sweden. Sweden was going to pay to get it towed because Spain did Nina Pinta Santa Maria.
There's a certain amount of pride attached to this, isn't there?
Lots.
And in Geneva as well. I was thinking of the Swedish, the Swedes, but that's obviously been transferred to Geneva. Okay, so if I want to come, is it just always open over there? How does that work?
It is not always open. We are volunteer run, so we're really only open 1 to 2 days a month. So we are open today until 4, and then tomorrow again from 10 to 4. If you miss us, come check us out July 20th and check the rest of our dates online at vikingship.us. And people are also more than welcome to email or call me, and we would do private tours as well.
Vikingship.us. Vikingship.us. It's beautiful. It's challenging. I mean, you just look at it, and you can see what an effort it must have been to journey across the Atlantic in that. I just recently discovered all of this, but I'm a big fan. Well done, Sammy.
So glad you found it. Thank you.
Sammy Bamberger. A round of applause for the Friends of the Viking Ship. Well, it's nice to meet you, and we've had a great time here in Geneva. Let's pause. We'll say hello to Amy Guth back in our downtown studios on WGN.
This week we'll talk travel to Portugal, smoke down with Stan Hayes and famous Dave Anderson, and NASCAR careers with Vince Welch and the one and only Darrell Waltrip.
The show for gearheads, race fans, and adventurers. On the road with Dane Neal this afternoon at 2 on 720 WGN.
Well, you know, I'm certainly not the only one who says I love this place. Jameson's Char House is the perfect spot to relax in a casual atmosphere that's warm and inviting. My wife and I frequently dine at the Huntley location, where we enjoy hand-cut black Angus steaks, succulent chops, or sometimes fresh fish favorites like the Greek-style Alaskan halibut with rice pilaf and roasted asparagus. Plus, every side dish, warm oven-baked bread, bread, and homemade soups and salad dressings are irresistible. Dine among family, friends, or business associates at any Jameson's Char House near you. I love this place.
Visit Jameson's Char House online at jamesons-charhouse.com. Jameson's Char House offering lunch, dinner, private rooms, carry out, even purchase gift cards. Visit a Jameson's Char House near you. Open 7 days a week in Mount Prospect, Bloomingdale, Skokie, Woodbridge, Crystal Lake, and Huntley.
It's time to save 20% on all your home remodeling projects with Cobblestone Development. Call 773-661-0606 or visit cobblestonedevelopment.com.
Remodel your home with Cobblestone.
That's him. All right. Hold on a second, Ed. I got to do this. You and I are going to take a picture. In fact, you're going to talk to me on the radio in just a second. With all of the rain that we're experiencing, have you noticed leaks in your windows or doors? Those leaks can cause damage to your walls and home. Call the experts at Next Door and Window Company. They can evaluate each of your windows and doors and help determine problem areas that should be addressed. Next Door and Window is the company that we had install beautiful, energy-efficient Marvin windows in our place in Chicago. Brenda and I are thrilled, not only with the quality of the stuff, but the fact that this was not a pushy proposition. I think you're probably careful about inviting people into your home and then maybe trying to maximize their profit and not being most concerned about your budget and your timeline, but it's so easy to have Next Door and Window come in. Fascinating education process. They hooked us up with what we needed and then said, maybe next year you want to do those other ones? Fine. And that's the process we're doing. And look at that, 40% off the installation of windows and doors and 18 months of interest-free financing. Call 1-800-NEXT-DOOR, 1-800-NEXT-DOOR, or visit 1-800-NEXT-DOOR.com. I got about 44 seconds here. What's your name?
My name is Ed Bransky.
What did you just give me?
I just gave you a Geneva Golf Club hat. John's now in the grounds crew. So he's cutting greens tomorrow morning at 6:30.
He comes up to me and says, this is for Cochran. Where's Cochran? Cochran's our big golfer. So.
I know that. But
should I share this with Steve or do I get to keep this?
No, that you get to keep that.
You and I are Joliet Junior College Wolves, aren't we?
Joliet Junior College Boys.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, great to see you.
And so where's the golf course?
The golf course is over yonder. It's only been there since 1900. So it's 119 years old.
Great history in this town. Nice to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks,
okay,
John.
Thanks for coming out. Here, Griff, I'm going to give you that. And we are all done. So we are back Monday on the radio. We did not feature the Mincing Rascals podcast today because we're in Geneva at Swedish Days visiting with all these folks. But you can always listen to it. It's free. Wherever you get your finer podcasts, listen for the Mincing Rascals. We just won the Illinois Broadcasters Association Broadcast of the Year Award. And a guy just sent an email to Eric Zorn. He shared it with me privately. He said, I listened to your podcast. I can't believe you guys win awards. It's not that good.
Said, so you did get that. Okay, good. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I did get that. Thanks, Griff. Okay, we're all done. Hey, Griffin Filipich, thanks for helping out. Ernie Scanton puts in long hours to make this happen, as does Rick and Marlene Wells. And how about the nice people of Geneva, Illinois? And some of my fellow cruisers are here, so thank you all for visiting with us. You can win the ultimate White Sox family reunion. Just listen to the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis weekday afternoons at 5:40 on WGN Chicago.